about humanity.
Welcome everybody to season 5, episode, what episode is this? I don't even know. What is it? I think it's episode 15. Episode 15? Something like that. Welcome to season 5, episode 15 of the greatest podcast in the history of humanity, and don't let anybody ever tell you any different. Okay? Seriously. Welcome to Victims of Fun. I am your host, El Stevo. And as usual, I'd like to thank the fine folks at Anchor FM for their podcasting software. You can go on the Anchor FM website, download it to your phone or your laptop, start podcasting in less than 5 minutes, reach an audience of millions, and they'll even monetize it for you. And of course, thank you to the fine folks at Apple. Victims of Fun is made on an Apple AirBook M1. Stored on a Seagate SSD 2 TB hard drive. And of course, the exclusive audio equipment of Victims of Fun is by the Blue Microphone Company. And we happen to have a Blue Snowball Yeti Ice microphone here, a white one. It's actually the logo of the show. Still trying to get Blue to send me a Bluella headphone set. And they haven't done it yet. Maybe if I had more of an audience, but nobody ever... I just don't have one. Remember, you can mail me your love and hate at victimsoffun@mail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look for Victims of Fun. You can hit that support button. Send me money, because you don't need it, and I do. I have an exciting announcement. Victims of Fun now has a Twitch channel, a Twitch stream. As Dusty Rhodes would say, a Twitch dream, if you will. And we just started it. It's pretty basic. I only use Twitch Studio because I can't figure out Streamlabs. And, some of these people have some really good stream channels with a whole bunch of graphics and stuff like that. I can't figure that out yet. Too new. So it's a Twitch TV / Victims of Fun. So far, I've only been streaming me playing Borderlands 2. In Idle Manager. But, it's just basically just to get my feet wet, hook up with people, get the name out there, and, anything I can do to help build an audience, I'm going to do, except maybe strip naked and run down the road. I'd probably lose an audience doing that. But, Twitch was a bit of a bitch to figure out, but I got some help from some of the other podcasters, Twitch streamers, too, and they talked me through it, and it's pretty basic. I'm not on camera, because I don't like how I look on camera. I mean, eventually I will be, but I'm kind of just like, ugh. But the thing about that is, about Twitch, you need two computers, because while if you're streaming a game, you gotta have two computers, because you're playing the game. And he has a second computer to see what everybody's chatting. I don't know why, that's just how it is. But if you're doing a Twitch stream where it's just you talking or playing an instrument or whatever, you don't have to do that. But when you're streaming a game, you have to. At least that's how I've always seen people with dual computer setups. So I may have to get Apple to send me another computer. I can have both, but I need more audio equipment first before I do that. But, it's just a way to, I'm trying to get into all this stuff. And, man, there's Twitch streamers who have thousands of viewers and have these professional-looking channels, and they make a ton of money, and they're playing games. I mean, it's unreal. I swear to God, if I was a young, good-looking woman, I'd have an OnlyFans, I'd have a Twitch, I'd be making bank, man. Like, I would totally sell myself. I don't care. Just give me the money, But, I'm an old man, so I can't really do that. So, this week I saw The Suicide Squad. Not to be confused with Suicide Squad, which came out a few years ago. They put a "the" in front of it. And it's called The Suicide Squad. And most of the cast from the first Suicide Squad movie get killed in the first 5 minutes of this film. Yeah, whatever. I thought it was a really good movie. It was a big improvement over the first Suicide Squad movie. It was a lot more fun. It didn't take itself seriously. I think part of the problem with the first Suicide Squad movie is it tried to take itself too seriously. And this one didn't. This one just went for over-the-top silliness. And it's graphically violent to the point where it's so graphically violent, it's hysterical. Because, I mean, you have violent movies like Rambo. Okay? The last... the Rambo movie where he's in Myanmar, in Burma. Hyper violent movie. Very realistic violence. Gory. The Suicide Squad is gorier and more violent, but the kills are so ridiculous and the gore is so stupidly ridiculous. It's like on the level of Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. You can't help but laugh at it because it's so gratuitous. It's so over the top. It's so... I mean, it's just, it's insane. But, you know, it's one of those movies where you check your brain at the door. And, you know, that's good. Especially in this day and age where everything is going on in the world. Sometimes you just need to tune out for a couple hours and get entertained. And, you know, I'm a big classic movie aficionado. I like a lot of classic movies. I like a lot of European. Werner Herzog is my favorite director of all time. I will watch anything he makes. I've seen Fitzcarraldo like 500 times. Aguirre, Wrath of God, I've seen like a million times. Love Werner Herzog. But sometimes you just gotta watch a DC or Marvel movie or, you know, a Madea Christmas or something just to check your brain at the door. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And people who look down on movies like that usually have no soul. And they have no sense of humor. Because life doesn't always have to be artsy and sophisticated. You know, it just doesn't. I mean, I am very, very highly educated. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I am. I'm more intelligent than most people you'll ever meet. But sometimes I just want to see a really stupid movie and just tell my brain to take a vacation for a couple hours. Because, you know, you need it. It keeps you sane. The problem is Hollywood doesn't make really good thought-provoking movies anymore, and the ones they do just make absolutely no sense at all. But what are you going to do? But anyway, so the Twitch stream I'm kind of excited about. I don't know what I'm going to do with it other than stream some games. I was thinking maybe there's a way I could stream the podcast, like stream it as I'm recording it. But, you know, so I don't know if that would actually work or not. Again, I don't like being on camera, so I think I would just be showing the software I use to make the podcast on the screen and just talk. But, I don't know, I gotta think. I mean, there are people on Twitch who just talk. There's people on Twitch who just cook. And, you know, they'll make food and, you know, you follow along with it. And there's people that do stand-up. And there's people that just... There's this one guy who has a Twitch stream. And he has a dedicated following of a couple hundred viewers. And he just reads books out loud. And right now he's reading... my mind just went blank. Oh my God. Wuthering Heights. That's right. So he's actually reading Wuthering Heights. He's sitting there in his recliner and he'll have a glass of scotch and he's just reading it and people are just watching, listening to him read. You know, that's fine. I could see Morgan Freeman doing that, but You know, it's a... I'd really like to do a puppet show, but I don't even know how I'd go about doing that and setting up the cameras and everything else. There's actually a guy, I was watching YouTube, and there's a guy that does a very popular YouTube channel about history. He compares things in history to each other and what-if scenarios and, you know, armies versus armies. And, you know, he'll do stuff like, I saw one video of his, could a modern U.S. aircraft carrier defeat the entire Japanese Imperial Navy in World War II? And that was one of his videos. Another one was, what if Italy was on the side of the Allies during World War II and not the Axis? Another one he did was, no weapon, hand-to-hand combat, 300 Spartans versus 300 U.S. Marines. Yeah, and he would talk about the different strategies and the strains and techniques, but it's a puppet. Okay, he's Russian, or he's faking a very good Russian accent, but he's not on camera. He has a puppet that's on camera, and it's this plushy-looking frog thing wearing an old Soviet Union officer's dress uniform, and that's the puppet that hosts the show. I guess the guy doesn't like being on camera. But it's hysterical, because the channel is serious, and it's hosted by this cheap-looking plushy puppet, which is hysterical. And oh, by the way, the 300 Spartans actually beat the 300 U.S. Marines. And his contention was that while 300 U.S. Marines are very, very badass and highly trained, they haven't been trained since birth. And the 300 and the Spartan military was trained from the moment they could walk. So, and the Spartans were always at war, where the U.S. Marines aren't. So they had a lot more experience. And the Spartans, when they got to be a 30-year-old Spartan, had survived a lot of stuff and is basically the elite of the elite. And they said that 300 Spartans, no weapons, hand-to-hand combat only, would decimate 300 U.S. Marines. That's just how it is. It was interesting. He said the U.S. air carrier group would run rampant in the beginning. And he said the only condition to that was the carrier had no nuclear weapons, because that would end everything like that. He'll do stuff like that. He'll be like, okay, this is this, but no nukes. So the carrier group, fully loaded, just the carrier, not its escorting vessels, would run rampant against the Imperial Japanese Navy for a year. But then eventually, as the equipment started breaking down and they started running out of ammo, and a lot of the technology to refuel and refit didn't exist in the 1940s, eventually they would lose, because they couldn't repair anything. They couldn't rearm. He said that the jet fuel that they could have made back then wouldn't have been good enough. And he said the only chance the U.S. carrier group had would be to get as close to Tokyo as they could and use their aircraft to basically destroy the capital and kill the Imperial family and wipe the Japanese fleet out immediately in a reverse Pearl Harbor. He said if they could do that, they would win. But if the Japanese managed to avoid them, the longer the Japanese held on, the more chances of them winning, because in the end, after a year, those Hornets and everything else are out of ammo. They're out of fuel. There's no parts. What are you going to do? You know, and they couldn't build that stuff back then. Even with the engineers on the ship in the machine shops, they said it would take 5-6 years for them to actually create and build the technologies to support the carrier group, and by then the war would be over. He said because the Japanese would just outlast them. And that's the end of that. And he said eventually in the end, they would lose. And he did the same thing with a ground war in Europe. He said that could, and I don't remember the strength that he used, but I think it was something like, could a modern NATO, I mean, not NATO, a modern French army group, not the entire French military, but, you know, could they, in the 1930s and 40s, could they have beaten back Nazi Germany in the Blitzkrieg? And he said that same scenario. In the beginning, the French would run rampant because, you know, it's just overwhelming technology. But as the stuff broke down, they wouldn't be able to fix it. And that he also pointed out that, you know, as good as a modern battle tank is, anti-tank weaponry from the 40s could still take it out. I mean, you blow the tracks off and the tank is dead. It doesn't matter how sophisticated it is. And it's interesting. And I've seen, there's another YouTube channel I saw, a guy does Could You Survive? This is a different guy. And he goes, could you survive? And he comes up with different scenarios. Could you survive being hunted by the Predator? Could you survive being hunted by a xenomorph? Could you win in a fight versus this? And he goes through all these scenarios, you know, how would you survive being stalked by Jason Voorhees? How could you beat him? How could you live? You know, type of thing. And so it's stuff like that. It's, you know, maybe I'll end up doing on my Twitch stream. I don't know yet. But it's, so you gotta check it out. Maybe you'll find it interesting. I love Borderlands 2. It's one of my favorite games. So, you know, I'm trying to do that. And, you know, with all the crap going on in the world, sometimes you just need to just forget the news and forget everything that's going on with this stupid supposed pandemic and these stupid supposed vaccines that are killing people. And, It's all out of control. You know, it's just really, I'm at the point where I'm hoping aliens come down. Because I would volunteer to get on a UFO and leave, like, instantly. No, seriously, I would. I would just totally do it. Let's get on and just go, and that would be the end of that. So, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with more of the greatest podcast in the history of the planet. Oscar Jackson. Oscar Jackson's used car emporium, Piggly Wiggly Road, near the Winn-Dixie, bringing you the best used cars in the area at the cheapest prices. We'll finance anybody. SNAP, EBT, food stamps. Yeah, you bring me a case of bourbon, and I'll give you a car. So, you know, we got this coronavirus thing, and the pandemic, and if you come down here and you buy a used car, we're going to give you the COVID vaccination for free. You heard me. You bring your infected ass down here and buy a quality used car, and you get a free COVID vaccination. And this is 100% medically guaranteed to cure or prevent your COVID. Because I guess everybody has it now. But that's what Rachel Maddow says anyway. So you come down, Oscar Jackson, used car emporium, buy a used car, get a COVID injection. I will personally administer this medicine to you and your family. So you come on down, get a used car, good prices, get a COVID injection. So just to reiterate, so we're perfectly clear and there's no misconstruing or misunderstanding. You come to the Oscar Jackson's used car lot and you buy a car, you come to the office and you bend over and I'll give you the injection. I will give you the injection right there. I will jab it in and I will give you the injection right in my office. So come on down and let me inject you. Right in your butt. Alright. Thank you and God bless the Confederacy. It's all about shenanigans. Welcome back to part two of this episode of Victims of Fun, brought to you by Oscar Jackson's Used Car Emporium. And old Oscar, he's got some interesting commercials. What are you gonna do, you know? So apparently he's giving away free COVID vaccinations. So yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on about COVID, and the government they keep talking about they're gonna mandate vaccinations and force people to get them, and they're not allowed to do that. If you want to get the vaccination, go ahead. If you don't. But people need to decide for themselves what's best for them, and I don't like the fact that you have the government taking medical choices out of the hands of people. It's basically the same thing like with abortion. It's your body, your choice. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you think it's a sin or not, it's not your choice because it's not your body. You make your own call. You do what's good for your family. I don't talk about my vaccination status because it's nobody's business. I know people have not been vaccinated and are perfectly fine, including some people who are very high risk who just decided for one reason or another not to take it and they haven't been sick. And I know people I have a friend who was a triathlete and she took the vaccination and was in the hospital for 8 weeks and now has permanent heart damage. So, you know, you got to make your own decision. I don't like them mandating masks for kids. I think it's a form of psychological abuse. It's little kids are very susceptible to that sort of psychological trauma, and masking them and making them feel like, I don't know. I think it psychologically traumas a little kid to be forced to wear a mask. And, you know, these are your kids. You raise them the way you want. You shouldn't have to have the government tell you what you can do with them. That's not how it works. Like I said, it's your family, your choice. You want to get it, get it. If you don't. It doesn't affect my life. All I will say about this whole thing is, people are freaking out over a supposed pandemic that has a 99.1% survival rate. The flu kills more people than COVID. It just does. If they put as much effort into preventing cancer, into preventing obesity, into preventing diabetes, that would be a lot better. But they ignore all that. You know, you go to anywhere and there's a fast food restaurant every 20 feet. Sugary drinks everywhere. Unhealthy food. And, you know, companies like that pay a lot of money to the government in taxes and lobbyists, and there's so much bullshit that goes on with it. If they took all of that money and all that time and that effort to educate people on how to eat better and how to live healthier, the obesity rates in this country would drop. The cancer rates in this country would drop. The diabetes rates in this country would drop. But nobody does anything about that. Because, you know, shouldn't have to force people to not eat a Big Mac. But you're going to force them to take an experimental vaccine. Makes no sense at all. At all. I remember when I was in high school, man, you had gym. Did we have gym every day? I can't remember if we had gym every day or we had every other day. They don't even do gym anymore. I mean, you know, and when we did gym, you know, one of the things to pass gym is you had to run a mile in under a certain amount of time. And, you know, nobody was complaining that, oh, this is too tough for me because I have bone spurs, or I have this, or, oh, it's not fair because my child is overweight and can't do it. Well, gym is supposed to, like, prevent stuff like that. And I remember my father saying that when he was in school, gym was a lot more involved than it was when I was in school, and they had gun classes in school and safety and all that other stuff. It was just... And now I saw that in Oregon, the governor of Oregon just signed something that said you don't have to prove you can read or write to graduate high school in Oregon because it's more fair to minorities. And I'm like, well, you're setting them up to fail by giving them a high school diploma when they can't read or write. They're never going to be able to enter the workforce. They're never going to succeed. And you're telling them that's okay? Everybody's scared to hurt everybody's feelings. You know, when I was in school and I did something wrong on a test or a project wasn't good, they told you, you know, that you failed this. You could have done better. You should do this to make it better. You should do that to make it better. Now, you're not even allowed to criticize the students or tell them they did a bad job because you'll hurt their feelings and they have to go to their safe space. Safe space, my ass. You know, it's... It's the all society's just messed up. That's why I tend to keep myself isolated from most everything, because it's very frustrating. You know, I blame the internet. No, really, I do. I you know, the internet and social media was supposed to bring people together, but it has done nothing but drive us apart. And sometimes I wonder if it would be better if it all went away. Because I remember being, you know, young in the 80s, and if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you called them on the phone, or you went to their house and threw a rock at their window and said, hey, you know, you home? Let's go out and hang out. And if we wanted to play a game, people actually got together and played a game. Didn't do it online, didn't FaceTime. If, you know, you went outside and played. You went outside and, I mean, we used to go in the woods and play Army Men. We used to take our little BMX pedal bicycles. And, you know, when I was a kid, me and my idiot friends, we had jousting tournaments on our bikes. And we would go and we would find, like, young sapling trees and cut them down and make them into poles, into jousting poles. And we'd have tournaments in our street in front of, you know, whoever's house. And, you know, nobody wore helmets or knee pads, and we would charge each other on the bikes with our jousting poles trying to knock people off. And nobody cared. None of the neighbors called the cops. I remember one time we were doing it, and some of the neighbors came out and started watching and were laughing at us. Nowadays, if kids tried to do that, you'd have some Karen calling the cops going, "Ah, this is unsafe. This is terrible. You're going to impale somebody." And then the police would come, and they, you know, they would tase the kids or something. It just, you can't have fun anymore. Where I lived, where I was growing up, we had three lakes in the town that I lived in. And, you know, they were cedar lakes, cedar trees. When there was water, it was lakes. And you'd swim in them. And we had there was a dock platform in each of the lakes. And they were called the first lake, the second lake, and the third lake. And nobody really swam at the first lake because the shore was really small. Everybody swam at the second or the third lake. So at the second lake, there was a swimming platform, a wooden 10 by 15 swimming platform, about 20 feet out from the shore in about 8 feet of water. And, you know, it was a wooden platform, and people would sit on it or dive off of it or whatever. But we used to have this thing called King of the Dock. And, you know, we would organize and go, okay, we would randomly choose somebody to be the first king. And he or she would get on the dock. And then everybody would swim from the shore to the dock, get on, and try to throw them off. And then we'd start throwing each other off. And whoever was the last person on the dock was the king of the dock, or queen. And that dock had been there for years. I mean, since like the 50s, everybody was playing it. And it was still there when I moved out of the country. And then I found out years later, I was on the Facebook page of my hometown, and somebody was saying they cut the dock down and took it out of the lake. And people were saying, well, what happened? Well, some people who had just moved to the town from New York, the wife and the mother of a kid that was going into sixth grade saw the dock and said, "This is dangerous. Somebody's going to get killed," and basically bullied the town into cutting the dock down. You know, somebody who had never lived in the town before comes in and just ruins it for everybody because she was afraid her kid eventually was going to get on the dock and hurt himself. And on one hand, I blame the town council for bending to that, because if I was on the town council, I would have said, well, you just moved here. You just shut up and sit down. You know, but that happens a lot. You know, you have people move into a town and immediately run for school board or town council. Nobody ever votes in those things. And then they start imposing rules and stuff from where they used to live. And suddenly everybody's like, wait a minute. No. This has been this way forever. But yeah, but back then, you know, there was no internet. There was no computers. I mean, there were computers, but they were pathetic. They couldn't do anything. They didn't even have colored screens. They had green LCD monitors, and they had tape drives. They actually used cassette tapes to store information on it. You know, and it took forever to load something. And we were like, "Oh God, these computers suck. What good are these?" And then we had a computer lab after school because the school got a bunch of donated Apple IIcs or whatever they were. And computer lab was just basically people coming in and typing their homework out and printing it out instead of going home on their typewriters, and then playing tic-tac-toe, which took 20 minutes to load up on the tape. Mm-hmm. But that was computer lab. I was in a really good after school, it was an in-school, not after-school thing. It was a class, what's called CAST, Communications, Arts, and Science Technology. Video production is what it was. And we had a big video camera and editing equipment, and we'd make our own TV shows and our own music videos, and we entered a couple statewide competitions, and it was a lot of fun. That's where I learned how to do all that stuff. And that was fun. And we had our own TV station. Well, a TV show. the local public access channel in my town was Channel 8. And the school did a half hour show a week of just news from the school. But it was never any of the good stuff. Like when we found out the gym teacher was sleeping with one of the junior girl students, that didn't make the news. It was just like, oh, at the cafeteria this week, we're going to have baked beans and hot dogs. I'm like, oh my God, I can make a much better news show than this. But what was cool is at the time MTV had just come out and you couldn't get it anywhere. It was a channel. I don't remember if you had to pay for it, but it was only carried on a couple networks. Remember those old TV commercials? I want my MTV. But we thought the idea of a music video was really cool. So we used to make music videos and it was fun. We made one for Ghostbusters. We made one for Hot for Teacher by Van Halen. And it was cool. But, now, kids are walking around. They're on their phones all the time in school. And life was a little bit better back then. I wonder sometimes if it would be better if you could press a button and the internet gets shut down permanently. I wonder how people would react. Well, I know Amazon would go out of business. That wouldn't be bad. But can you just imagine no more internet? You actually have to talk to people face to face. You actually have to go outside. Oh my God. How would you handle that? How would you walk outside? What's that big fireball in the sky? Well, it's the sun. You know, usually when I go away to the beach, I shut my phone off because I have an older smartphone. And I bring that with me because, it doesn't work anymore except as, a music player and a camera. Because, I have service on my other phone. And the older phone has no service, but it has a great camera. And so I'll bring that with me and I'll use that to take pictures. And I'll have my phone I talk on and do everything else. My iPhone, I have that shut off. And, but can you just imagine having to actually go outside and talk to people, having to actually write a letter instead of an email, having to actually call your relatives instead of FaceTiming them, what are you going to do when you don't know what everybody's having for dinner? Like on Facebook, everybody posts their dinner. How are you going to get through your day without watching cat videos? What are you going to do about not having access to like 20 different news sources? Most of them owned by the same three companies. Like, what are you going to do if you actually have to go to the store and there's no more DoorDash or Uber Eats or anything like that at all? What if you actually have to go out and meet people to date instead of going on Plenty of Fish or Farmer's Life or Grindr or Tinder or whatever people use? What would you do? Maybe they should shut it off. Maybe they should shut the internet off like one day a week. And just totally shut it down. Only leave up stuff that they absolutely need for like medical stuff. Hospitals need to consult each other and all that. But like personal use internet, shut it down one day a week. Force everybody to go out. And if you're going to force vaccines on people, you should force them to go out into the real world and actually deal with people and get some outdoor activities and stuff. Maybe then we wouldn't be a nation of fat asses, because most people in this country are hugely obese. I don't know. I'm just ranting. But it was good back when we had no internet. Of course, then I wouldn't be podcasting, but I would have a pirate radio station. I always wanted to do that. I guess this is the next best thing. Well, thank you for tuning in this week to Victims of Fun. I will be back. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for Victims of Fun. Remember, we're now on Twitch, and we Twitch stream. You see me playing Borderlands or something else, so check us out on Twitch.tv/Victims of Fun. Remember, you can mail me your love or hate or suggestions or complaints or nude pictures at victimsoffun@mail.com. And you can hit the support button and send me money so I can buy stuff to improve the podcast. So that's about it. So, hope you all have a good week. And remember, be kind to everybody, because the people you meet on the way up are the people you're going to meet on the way down. See ya. It's all about humanity.